I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. No lunch is complete without water. Not just the water you drink, but the water that helped grow everything on your plate. And in that respect, the world's got a big problem. Agriculture and other forms of development are stressing out water supplies just about everywhere. Climate change is only making the problem worse. So what if you could grow just as much food, but with a lot less water? It's a tantalizing prospect, especially in places like China with its chronic and growing water problems. In today's installment of our What's for Lunch series on food and climate change, the world's Mary Kay Magstad visits an experimental farm on the outskirts of Beijing where they're developing what could be a revolutionary new irrigation technology.
This is not the world's most efficient form of irrigation. A mushroom farmer has turned on a hose at midday and is letting the water gush into a long raised mound of soil. A stone's throw away is another long raised mound with no water source in sight. Yet the soil underneath the canvas covering is slightly moist and the mushrooms are firm and healthy. The first field is the control, normal surface irrigation. The second uses a new underground irrigation system where the roots of the plants draw only the water they need. Gu Yunxia is the agronomist managing this project. She says the new irrigation system cuts down on pests and fungus and weeds. We save a huge amount of water, and the vegetables taste really good. This system is called trace irrigation by its inventor, Beijing native Zhu Jun. He says he got the idea for it playing with chopsticks in a glass of water. Zhu says he found if he put the chopsticks in water and then took them out, a little water would rise between them. And if he held the chopsticks higher, the water would go higher. He realized this was the capillary force that he learned about in primary school, and he figured maybe that could be used for irrigation. Zhu's trace irrigation system uses plastic pipes buried in the soil, which get narrower and narrower. At the end of each is something like a tiny showerhead with little white threads coming out of it. Zhu says he has worked on his system for about a decade, and he says he's solved a recurring problem that plagues one of the current most efficient technologies known as drip irrigation. He says the pipes and drip irrigation systems can easily get clogged with dirt, but that he's figured out a way to keep that from happening by using a double membrane to filter the water. Bottom line, he says, his system is 30 to 50% more efficient than drip irrigation and 70 or more percent more efficient than standard surface irrigation in China. That could be a huge breakthrough in a country and a world that are increasingly water-stressed and at a time when climate change is only making things worse. A huge breakthrough if it really works. And some observers aren't sure that it will.
Well, I guess anytime somebody claims to save 50% water, especially over drip irrigation, one becomes immediately skeptical.
Bob von Bernuth is education director of the U.S. Irrigation Association.
I can tell you that it's possible, but unlikely.
Von Bernuth took a look at Zhu's application for a U.S. patent on the technology. It's available online. And he says it doesn't seem that different from current underground drip technology. But Zhu says it is, and it's drawn considerable interest in China. He's already received two patents here and one in New Zealand, and he has applications pending in dozens of other countries. Meanwhile, Kim Ji-suk, a Korean agronomist, was so intrigued by this new technology that he left his job with the agribusiness giant Syngenta to join Zhu's company, Puchuan, which means spreading spring. He takes me for a tour around the experimental farm on the edge of Beijing, past walnut groves, peach trees, corn, cotton, and peanut fields.
The government official was quite excited about the results from last year.
Excited enough, Kim says, to green light bigger trials, growing grapes, watermelon, jujubes, and licorice. And Kim's excited, too. It's not so often an agronomist gets to work on what just might prove to be a world-changing technology. We walk into a test greenhouse with rain pattering overhead. One section, which uses drip irrigation, feels humid. The other, using trace irrigation, does not. Kim says that's because there's less water in the soil here to evaporate. And that brings big benefits beyond saving water.
The disease decrease also. So we use less fertilizer, we use less fungicide.
Half as much fertilizer, he says, which would be good news for waterways in China that are now choked with agricultural runoff. Kim says the vegetables on the trace irrigation side of the greenhouse are also more uniform and attractive than the ones grown with drip irrigation. It's time to break for lunch, and Kim suggests we start with crudités.
Pick one and see.
A little trace irrigation-grown celery. Kim grins broadly. And if this is a taste of things to come in China, growing better produce with less fertilizer and pesticides and much less water, there's certainly something to smile about. For The World, I'm Mary Kay Magstad in Beijing.
Our What's for Lunch series is part of Food for 9 Billion, a project of Homelands Productions and the Center for Investigative Reporting, in partnership with the PBS NewsHour and American Public Media's Marketplace. You can see pictures of Kim, the Korean agronomist, on the job at the experimental farm outside Beijing. Those shots are at theworld.org. We'd love to see on Instagram how what you're eating these days is changing in response to climate change. Take your photos and post them on Instagram with the hashtag What's for Lunch. That's What's the number 4 lunch. What's for lunch?